Good morning. You're listening to a special edition of The Breakfast Show on BBC Radio Foyle with Theresa Craig in the studio and me, Will Leach, at the Long Tor Church here in the Bogside. Today, the people of Derry and much farther afield pause and bow their heads as in two separate funeral services they remember two of this city's sons, two prominent men from well-known local families, families who'd expected to have their loved ones around for many years to come. First here this morning, the funeral of Derry City Captain Ryan McBride, who died on Sunday evening, and later the funeral of Martin McGuinness, Sinn Féin's former Northern leader and former chief negotiator. To this church will come their families, their friends, their associates, but also travelling much farther, representatives of people's groups and governments coming here to pay their respects. Throughout the programme this morning, we'll be hearing from the people who are pausing to remember and to reflect, and will be taking part in the services here at the Long Tor. We won't forget the rest of the day's news and sport, of course, but inevitably, Derry will be thinking about the people who are gathering together to mourn.
Well, it's still very early, but describe the scene where you are.
Well, Theresa, Thursday has dawned, a little overcast in Derry. There's a sharp bite to the air. And I'm standing here at the Long Tor, looking over at the Bogside. I can look over to Derry's walls and in the other direction to the Long Tor Church. The church is inevitably quiet this morning. It's peaceful. Churchyards always are. But later today, many, many people will come. I think probably many thousands over two funeral services to remember these two men.
And what do we know about the plans for today?
Well, the first funeral's at 10 o'clock this morning, the funeral mass for the late Ryan McBride. That'll be celebrated here. Father Aidan Mullen will be the chief celebrant and he'll preach the homily. Bishop Donal McKeown, the Bishop of Derry, will preside at that. And later on, Ryan's remains will be interred in the city cemetery. And then at 2 o'clock, the funeral mass for the late Martin McGuinness, again celebrated here at the Long Tor. Father Michael Canny will be the chief celebrant again. Bishop Donal McKeown, Bishop of Derry, will preside there. And he too will be interred in the city cemetery after the mass.
Now, Eric, today will be a dark day for the family of Derry City captain Ryan McBride and the club supporters also. You commentated on his last matches. What will your memories be of him as a player?
Well, Theresa, just as a tough, no-nonsense, fearless defender who wore his heart on his sleeve and basically would go through a brick wall for the team. I mean, you knew that if you had Ryan McBride in your team, there was a pretty good chance that you wouldn't get beaten that particular afternoon. And Ryan McBride was a player who was in the prime of his career, aged 27 years of age, had formed a terrific partnership with Aaron Barry in the centre of defence, had started the season so impressively well, scoring those two goals, the winner against Shamrock Rovers, the goal against Dundalk, which sealed the victory in their first appearance at McGinn Park, as Derry went on to make four wins out of four to start the season. And he wore that candy-striped jersey with such pride. He wore the captain's armband with such pride. And, you know, on countless occasions I've thrown to Liam Coyle towards the end of our match commentaries and asked him for his man of the match. And more times than enough, if Ryan McBride didn't get the nomination, and on most occasions he did, well, Liam always mentioned him among the two or three players who was in contention. He was an immense presence in the team and an extremely consistent performer.
And the one thing that stood out to me, Eric, he'd been described by those who knew him as a warrior on the pitch and a gentleman off it. He came across as quite a quiet lad.
He did. And, you know, I read a quote from John Caulfield, the Cork City manager, yesterday, who said there wasn't a manager in the League of Ireland who would not want Ryan McBride in their team. And I think that stands very true. And there were a number of clubs who were interested in signing him. But Ryan McBride was a local boy, a Brandywell boy. He only wanted to play for Derry City. He lived a kick of the ball away from the stadium. And he played with so much commitment, passion, and yet off the pitch he was quiet, he was unassuming, he was humble. And although he was captain, he was a man of few words. He let his actions on the pitch do the talking. He didn't seek the limelight. He didn't want the headlines. He wasn't one for media attention. Rarely did post-match interviews. But when he did, he was polite and courteous and carried out his duties. You know, he went about his business, and after the game, he just walked home.
There are people in this community down below us for whom he is a revered political leader. In fact, it almost transcends politics. It's almost it's like a chieftain almost, I think, if you almost think back in Irish historical terms. But there are other people for whom Martin McGuinness was a, you know, almost a personalised the IRA campaign, and for whom he was almost the embodiment of evil, and that's a reality. I kind of think that what's extraordinary is what has happened to people in the middle, where people, even who would have been very, very determined political opponents of his in the past, have kind of moved, perhaps grudgingly, to acknowledge that this was a man who did ultimately commit himself to peace. We've had incredibly generous words stated in the very recent past by the likes of Ian Paisley, son of the late Dr. Ian Paisley, who has been very, very warm and very, very generous and very, very magnanimous, and who has realised the kind of journey that Martin McGuinness has been on. But the one thing I think people should not lose sight of is that Martin McGuinness, down here, he carved a reputation as an IRA leader. He was a Republican, and he died an Irish Republican. He was unrepentant about his past. In fact, he was proud of his past, and he went to his grave, still not apologising in any way for that past, but I think resolutely wedded to the search for peace in this country, resolutely wedded to the peace process, and that I think will ultimately be his legacy when history comes to be written.
As we look around, Derry's waking up, but not to a normal day. What's the mood in the city today? How do you take that temperature?
It's a very, very somber mood. I think it does have the air almost of the laying to rest of a chieftain, you know. I came down past the McGuinness family home on the way to Longtower Church here just this morning, just a short time ago, and it was very, very quiet. You notice there are television crews setting up down around there. There's a small bustle of activity, but it's so different now to what it'll be like in just even a couple of hours' time when we have Ryan McBride's funeral happening here, and then afterwards the funeral of Martin McGuinness. We anticipate fairly extraordinary scenes as the cortege leaves the McGuinness family home just after lunchtime today. We can actually see the family home here from where we're standing, and comes down Weston Street there and makes its way here to Longtower. I'm assuming that the streets will be lined by many, many people. Even at the wake yesterday, there were people coming from all arts and parts to pay their respects. So I genuinely don't think we've seen anything like it since probably Bloody Sunday, the funerals of Bloody Sunday.
Obviously, you know, devastating news for, you know, the whole of the family, the whole of the community, and the football club. And I say my heartfelt condolences go out to everybody concerned, and so I came to shock to everybody. And you know, I was certainly well aware of the player, having seen him play a couple of times, and players that haven't played with him. So I say it was deeply, you know, shocking news, and I say hopefully you know, everybody rallies round, which I'm sure they will. Derry City's a fantastic club, and I'm sure everybody will rally round and hopefully make it that little bit easier on the family.
Yeah, for a football club, very difficult situation to be in, and the manager, the teammates, it's going to be a difficult few weeks, few months to recover from this.
It certainly is. It won't be an easy one. You know, I seen Kenny Shields, and I know Kenny pretty well, and I seen how much, you know, devastation was in his voice and his eyes and his face when he started talking about his captain the other night. So it won't be easy. I say Derry City have been there quite recently with you know, past players, obviously Mark Farren passing away. So I say it's never easy. It's never going to be easy. A young player, the captain of a club the size of Derry, in the prime, not only in the prime of his football career, but nowhere near the prime of his life. So it'll be a great big loss to the, you know, the whole community of Derry.
I was in his home the other night. I went in to say my farewells there. And again, it was the little people of Derry. Martin McGuinness was so familiar among them. And even people who were angry about what happened to their loved ones, people who lost loved ones, the most innocent of people who lost loved ones during the Troubles, I think many of them were actually disarmed by just the manners of Martin McGuinness and his dealings with him. Also, I think it's so, so significant that two Ulster Unionist leaders are coming to his funeral today. We all know the history of funerals, Republican funerals in Derry. We know the history of funerals in the Longtower Church, the rows that took place. And I think for somebody like Arlene Foster to actually come, given what happened in recent times, to come into that environment today, and for Mike Nesbitt to make the decision that he wasn't just going to go to the Wake House, which I suppose would have been a compromise of sorts, but that they're actually going to go to the Catholic Mass in a Catholic church in Long Tower in the middle of Derry to say goodbye to Bart McGuinness. I think that speaks volumes about his life.
FM, 792 medium wave and online. BBC Radio 4.
It's 8 o'clock. Welcome to a special breakfast show on Thursday the 23rd of March with Will Leach here at the Long Tower Church in Derry and Theresa Craig in the studio. This morning, Derry is pausing to bury two of its sons from the worlds of sport and politics. The funerals of Derry City's Ryan McBride and later of Martin McGuinness will take place here in a few hours' time. The former US President Bill Clinton and the DUP leader Arlene Foster will be among the mourners.
I'm Eric White with the sport. Defending champion Jason Day pulls out of the World Match Play Golf while Rory McIlroy loses to Søren Kjeldsen. And Lukas Podolski signs off with a memorable goal as Germany beat England.
Also this morning, terror at Westminster.
I'm standing like everybody else. Bang, bang, I said to myself. But it's no accident. I see a black car and I run. I see men lined in, full of blood.
Seven people are arrested after the London terror attack. We speak to a local politician caught up in the chaos. BBC Radio 4, online, digital and FM. Eve Rosato has the news.
Politicians from across the political divide and across the world will be arriving here later, but of course thousands of local people will be turning out to pay their respects to the man they feel did so much for the city. Our reporter Una Kelly spoke to some of them yesterday as they were signing a book of condolence in the Guildhall.
In later years he's been more of an example than maybe we realised, and after what we all came through and to be where we are now, and I suppose living in hope for the future. It's very sad that he's died.
Did you know him personally?
No, just...
But it still brought a tear to your eye?
Oh, it would. I think we're all affected by it.
It would bring a tear to you. Like, I mean, you know, you read some of the people there and maybe not all of the same views as me, and that's great to see. You know, I also work with people from the Loyalist Unionist community, and I've had phone calls from some of those this morning, you know, giving their sympathy and asked me to pass it on their behalf to Martin's wife, Bernie, his family, you know. So, that was never her tell us, and these people come from around the Ballymena and Antrim area, very, very, very aware of what Martin has done and what he has brought, regardless of past or anything else. I mean, everybody has a past. It's not about the past, it's about the future.
Martin, you gave hope and happiness to the people of Ireland and to the people of the world. Wishing you all the best from Aileen and Kira, Kerry, Sligo and Galway.
To pay a respect to a man of peace.
A statesman,
that's right.
How does it make you feel to read some of the messages in the book?
Wonderful.
Just what he deserved, isn't it, really? Only proves his worth. Died too young.
Willie Hay, also known as Baron Hay of Ballyoar, was in the Lords when the attack took place. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, thoughts first of all turn to the dead police officer who tried to stop the attacker, Willie. He was a father and a husband, and also to the others who lost their lives.
Very, very much so. Our thoughts and prayers are with the innocent victims yesterday. I think as things unfolded inside, where we had just entered the chamber, the House of Lords chamber, and was told to evacuate straight away. And I have to say, the security forces were very focused, they were very orderly, moved hundreds and hundreds of people very quickly into safe zones. And certainly nobody realised at that time what was unfolding outside was very, very, very serious. And certainly as events unfolded, as we watched it on television inside, heard the helicopters, the emergency services, and as news filtered through, we knew very, very quickly that the issue outside and the events outside were very, very, very serious. And certainly to have one police officer and to have 4 dead plus the terrorists, I think itself speaks how serious the situation was. But I have to say, the security forces were very, very effective. They went into operation very, very, very quickly, and also the emergency services. And I think without that quick response, we could see further fatalities only for that, only for the way the security forces and the emergency services dealt with the whole situation yesterday. I think the problem at Westminster is that, you know, you have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who work in the Westminster. You have hundreds of tourists that go into the building on a daily basis. Now, how do you protect all of that and still have a normal way of working at Westminster? I think all of that is very difficult. I've been here for about over 2 years now. I have watched security being continually stepped up at Westminster, but it's how you get the balance right.
I look at the papers and thought, is there anything I can give people an insight that they haven't already heard? It's the Derry News has pages and pages, but has a lot of personal comment from individuals who met with Martin McGuinness, who worked with Martin McGuinness. You've just been chatting with Willie Hay, and he's one of the people whom they quote. We've heard from him, but there's also a full page from Bertie Ahern, and some comments from Bertie. If I can, just because what did he say? He says, at the beginning, we have plenty of arguments and rows and debates, but over the years you tend to forget about all of those things. My standout memories of Martin will always be a lot of conversations I had with him about family, friends, sports and parts of Ireland.
That's a common theme. Rob, how will your parishioners be feeling this week?
Those that I've met, I think there's a kind of a stunned solemnity about things. Some have, I think, feel the pain and the hurt of those who've been victims of the past. And that gap that is still there, I think we have to acknowledge the reality of that's there. I think it probably depends where people are coming from, almost on a political spectrum, as to how... I think they all have a great sympathy, both for the McGuinness family. They've lost a father or grandfather, people feel that, just as they feel for the McBride family, terrible losing a young man at this time. But having lived and pastored within the city for several years now, I know that people find it very difficult to just forget the past. We can't forget the past, and that some things from the past have never been maybe brought out and addressed, and that does concern them. And yet others can recognise, to use this word that we use all the time, being on a journey. Not only has Martin McGuinness been on a journey, but we've all been on a journey of one kind or another, and some find it more easy to step forward on that journey than others.
We won't forget that Ryan McBride will be laid to rest this morning. His family, his friends, his teammates thinking, and it's going to be a difficult day for them today, but also the first day they have to run out onto the pitch again, McGinn Park or wherever, to remember their lost friend. But finally, Enda, Martin McGuinness, after today, it's going to be people thinking, well, what's his legacy? What does he leave behind?
Well, I think there are two great unknowns with Martin McGuinness that'll occupy the minds of many people. And those unknowns we will never get the answer to. One, how many people are dead today because of Martin McGuinness, the IRA commander, and how many people are alive today because of Martin McGuinness, the peacekeeper. And depending on your point of view of Martin McGuinness, one of those questions will be important to you, the other not so. But it's an indication of the man, and he will continue, I'm sure, to divide opinion as he did in life, he will do in death. But no doubt that I think we would not be where we are today without his contribution.
Enda, thank you very much indeed for your thoughts. I said it many times this morning and it's still so. It's a sombre day here at the Longdar Church as we prepare for these funerals this morning. Many people will be coming to pay their respects. Many people feeling sad. For today, Derry is a city of bowed heads.